It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the latest property news every morning on iHeartRadio, Spotify and Apple, and of course wherever you get your podcasts from. Well, nice to get Monday out of the way into a Tuesday and a little bit closer, of course, to Christmas. It is Tuesday, the 12th day of December. See what I mean? We really are zeroing in on Christmas. And is 2023 going to be remembered for all of those interest rate hikes? Or perhaps the cost of living and the economy putting pressure on everything that you do, everything that you buy? The year is probably likely to be remembered for both of those massive drains on our bank accounts. Anxiety also fueled stress levels, which played a bit of a major role in 2023. And if you are in the property market, well done, congratulations to you. But let's spare a thought for people still trying to get into the property market. The interest rate hikes have driven up income requirements for median-priced homes, now demanding $90,000 more in Sydney since April of 2022. Other cities have followed suit. Buyers, of course, what they do as a result of this is they compromise on location, also compromise on quality to reduce some of the spending that they would otherwise like to spend. So joining us this morning, in fact, is Chris Foster Ramsey in Melbourne. He is the principal from Foster Ramsey Finance. And good morning to you, Chris. Welcome to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning.
Good morning and thanks for having me on.
Sounds a little bit draining when I sort of put all of those elements together, but what sort of a year, what are some of the standouts for 2023 in the mortgage loaning space that you're involved in?
Look, I think the biggest would be the interest rate rises, certainly taking the most amount of toll on, you know, we work predominantly with families, mums and dads, borrowers. Because of the associated cost of living going up with, you know, everything that you buy, plus receiving a bit of a whack with how much the home loan is now costing.
Yeah, we've kind of talked about this quite a bit this year. You know, the goalposts keep moving, don't they, with every rise. And you guys have had to sort of navigate your way through that with your clients and talk to them and say, well, hang on, unfortunately, you can't buy that property because things have changed.
Yeah, that's right. And borrowing capacity has been most drastically affected, I would say, in the last, well, all of this year plus the latter half of last year, but really culminating in the November rate rises to currently how much people can borrow. That's probably the worst that I've seen it is currently the difference between how much can people can borrow now compared to late 2022 time.
Yeah, and I mentioned just how expensive it is to get into the Sydney market. When we come back, we will talk to Chris about the Melbourne market and just how much more income you are going to require for 2024 to secure your purchase within the property market. That is on its way next.
We talk to some of the most influential figures in the real estate industry, from leading commentators to investors to real estate principals, only on The Real Estate Podcast.
And right now it's time for another 30-second property tip as we go to Tugun on the Gold Coast and to John Parks. And John, what have you got for us this morning?
Craig, I think from a seller's point of view, something the Gold Coast definitely lacks is agents doing midweek or twilight open homes. It's not as prominent in our area or in our suburb, and I think it's a great opportunity for a seller to potentially meet some more buyers during the week and during their campaigns.
Well, we've talked a lot about these empty homes around the country. Of course, the government is planning on doing something about that. Foreign investors are going to face hefty fees for vacant properties in Australia. The fees have doubled for foreign investors buying property. Penalties for vacant foreign-owned homes increased sixfold. and expected to raise around $500 million annually for affordable housing. And the government expects that these measures will free up some more housing stock and increase rental availability. Well, of course, it sounds great in theory. The proof is going to be whether that actually happens. If you're celebrating your birthday for today, December the 12th, many happy returns. You are sharing it with Bill Nighy. He's turning 72. Dionne Warwick, she's turning 81. And Jennifer Connolly, she is 51 today.
It's the main centre forecast.
And around the country, Sydney expecting a mainly fine day. Little bit of cloud around with 28. Melbourne cloudy with fine periods and 32. In Brisbane expecting a mainly fine one with 30 degrees. And the blue stuff once again across the skies of Perth expecting a hot one too with 33 degrees.
While we can't predict the future of the real estate market, we can provide insights on what's currently trending. With over 450 episodes designed for the astute property buyer, it's powerful information at your fingertips.
It's another Real Estate Tuesday around Australia with the countdown, as I mentioned, to Christmas really on. And with us is Chris Foster Ramsey there in Melbourne. We talk about those rising interest rates that have increased the income level required to afford the median priced homes. As mentioned, Sydney's median home prices now requires an annual gross income of $270,000. That is up by $90,000 from April of 2022. And if we have a look at Melbourne, Brisbane and Perth, also demanding higher incomes, rising for Melbourne by $49,000, Brisbane $50,000 and Perth $46,000 respectively. And Chris, it's a lot of extra money, isn't it, to be finding to get yourself into the property market?
It certainly is. And I mean, from my reading of this, it puts most people in, well, puts you, if you're in Melbourne and Sydney, it puts you in the top tax bracket for earning. And if you're in the rest of Australia, it puts you pretty close.
So how many of your clients have sort of looked at that in terms of what you're saying, they're in the top tier of the income bracket and said, we just can't afford to actually buy in this market, we have to move?
Yeah, I think that what we're seeing there is that there's a lot more compromise around location and home size in line with how much people can currently borrow. If size of the home is not a comparable outcome, then, you know, the next suburb or a couple of suburbs within a local ring are usually selected. And if the person still wants to stay in the same neighbourhood or postcode, then what we're seeing is the size of the home change a little bit.
And no doubt you've had people that have come into your office, they've sat down, you've done the numbers, particularly there in Melbourne, and you've said, look, you just cannot, unfortunately, afford to get into the property market. Have you had clients of yours, customers, then turn around and say, well, we're just going to have to sit in the rental market space until something either with the income changes or perhaps the prices start to be pulled back?
Yes, absolutely to both of those points. So firstly, it's a very uncomfortable conversation for all present when you tell someone that you pop that balloon and say, look, it's not going to work for you buying what you want, where you want, for how much, because you just can't borrow the money. And usually, you know, a couple of things will come out of that. One will be that they'll come back to us in a couple of weeks and have had a family meeting amongst their immediate and extended families to look at some type of help from them. Or if that can't happen or that they want that to happen, then they just sit in the rental market until things potentially change in 24.
Yeah, you talk about the family dynamic. Jarden's survey, in fact, has highlighted 15% of borrowers relying on family assistance, with 75% of first-home buyers benefiting from family support. I mean, this has been a huge lifeline, but not everybody is in that situation.
No, that's right. And I think those figures probably are understated anyway, particularly how it affects the rest of the market. First home buyers have always had family help of some description. As you say, it's not always available. So where it's not always available, I really feel for those people, because housing affordability does really affect them probably the most out of everyone.
And another talking point that we have spoken about quite a bit this year is the fact that people are joining up and going into a property together. How much of that have you seen there in Melbourne?
I haven't really seen a lot of it personally, but have heard a lot of it being reported to my peers. I guess it makes sense in terms of, being able to get into the property ladder. My biggest thing there is making sure that each party has an exit plan, and that exit plan is, signed, sealed and delivered prior to any purchase and transaction being made. Where we have seen it in the past, that document becomes very, not to put a bad spin on things here, but it potentially becomes very important, and those that have wanted to get out of those joint transactions for whatever reason, they've found a partner and they want to buy something with that partner and drop the initial purchase done with someone else, that it needs to have a way out, because it can ruin things really badly.
Yeah, those exit strategies, those contracts, even if you sort of go back to the families, there will be families that will have some pretty stringent, I would imagine, conditions, just making sure that they are protecting themselves, because there have been some instances where mum and dad have actually really fallen foul to a set of circumstances that really haven't helped them at all.
No, that's right. And that's why many, many, many lenders now used to be able to waive a family guarantee or a parent or a sibling their right to independent legal and financial advice, but now it's becoming more and more of a not negotiable. You must have independent legal advice to understand the nature of the guarantee and what it means for the parents or the other person's situation, so that everyone is doing their due diligence prior to going into it as much as reasonably possible.
Yeah, because, if you go back sort of 10 years ago, it might have been mum and dad kicking in 50K. 2024, it ain't 50K anymore.
No, it's certainly not. It's a lot more than 50K. It's usually six figures of some description, and whether it be, 20,000, 50,000 or 150,000, it's a lot of money. It's got to be treated with due diligence and respect that a figure like that deserves.
All right then, Chris. Well, great to chat with you, find out a little bit about your Melbourne operation there. Good luck for 2024. It sounds like it's still going to be testing certainly in the first quarter.
Yeah, I think it will be. And I think that, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of the Christmas and festive spending period. I hope that won't put pressure on rates. And certainly there's a lot of, I hope, very good news to come in 2024.
Yeah, well, we're all sort of holding our breath to see what happens with the Christmas spend. Hey, enjoy your Tuesday, and thanks for coming on to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning.
It's a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on.
Don't navigate the real estate market alone. Let us help guide you in the world of real estate every day. Make better informed decisions with the latest news and insights.
They have their market outlook, which predicts minimal movement in Darwin values. What did you make of that news there, Will?
I think our market is in better shape than stagnating. We haven't had a lot of new supply really hit our market at all. We think that the unit market should do better than stagnating. We're sort of thinking minimal growth there. The inner suburbs that I mentioned before that have seen some really high prices through 2023, we think that market's in pretty good shape. Again, it's a supply factor. Just given that lack of supply, we think that part of the market will kick along pretty well.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.